This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Songs with. Songs with.
Ones we can depend on.
Songs with.
How many of us have them?
Songs with.
Before we go any further.
Songs with.
Place to Be Nation. Welcome back to Songs with Friends here on the Place to Be Nation pop feed. My name is Steve Williams, and joining me once again is Kelly. Kelly, how are you?
I'm good. I'm tired. How are you?
I'm also kind of tired, which makes no sense because I literally slept my day away today. But here we are.
You slept too much.
I did.
That's a thing.
Part of why I sleep so much in this here apartment is that my air conditioning is running at a cool 69 degrees. And yes, it does feel quite nice. But I bring that up to segue to an apology to the listeners. You are going to hear my AC throughout this podcast this week. Because it is just too damn hot. It is literally 90 degrees outside right now, so I'm just going to let it run. So there will be times when it does sound like a possible airplane is landing in my living room when it kicks on and off.
Oh, shit. So please, yes. So please, 90 there is, like, ridiculous.
Yes, so please bear with me. It is a hot, humid 90. It is like somebody slaps you in the face with a hot towel that's soaking wet.
Yeah. Mm-mm. That's hot. It's only 87 here. It's cooler.
That's ridiculous.
Yes. We've been kind of spoiled this summer.
I don't condone this.
And it's not that humid. We're humid, but not there.
So your air isn't too moist?
No.
It's not like Hobo Takes Kitchen as he's baking 18 cakes at once and pasta dishes.
Yes, we're endorsing Hobo Takes Bakery.
Yes. For those of you who may not know who we're talking about, a gentleman follows us on Twitter. His handle is at Hobo Takes, and this gentleman has turned into a damn connoisseur of the kitchen. He is a baking fool. He is Martin Stewart.
Yeah. Yes.
And I kind of want him to bake us some fresh cookies. I can't lie. Send him to the Songs of Friends P.O. box.
We will take them.
Someone suggested he start a YouTube cooking show and call it Hobo Bakes, and I fully endorse this idea.
Yes!
We never sponsored anything. We will sponsor that endeavor.
Yes, I will watch it for sure.
I will send you $10 American dollars every month.
Whoa, Steve!
To slap our logo on the corner of that screen.
That's amazing. He might do this. This is a good opportunity for him.
Yes, I am all in on this idea.
Yes.
Something else I am all in on is our Place to Be Nation tribute to 1994 project we've had going on the website. At least once a week or so, we've had a written article or a podcast pop up celebrating the tremendous year that was 1994, a very pivotal year both in our history and just in a lot of our lives in general. Our age range of PTB and staff, we tend to run adolescent years during that time. So that was a very pivotal year in everyone's life. And we have been asked to contribute to this here project. So here we are. We have both picked songs from the year of our Lord, 1994.
Yes.
Oh, we are going. Kelly, how old were you in 94?
14.
14.
I guess 13 to 14. Yeah, I guess.
Yes.
Yeah.
I was 12.
Depends what part of the year we're talking about, so, but yes.
Now, this was a wild-ass year in my life.
So what grade you were in, are you going to reference like 6th grade or 7th grade?
Just that whole year was kind of, really the summer was like a big hub. That summer was the summer that I spent at the pool, and I had a tan that lasted till December.
My goodness.
It was pretty intense.
Wow, I've never experienced that, so I don't know that.
But also, it's the summer where I infamously we were in the woods, me and my buddies. I was leaned down against a tree branch, just being silly. And my friends were smoking cigarettes because I ran with the unsavory crew. I was not partaking in said smoking.
Oh.
However, one of my friends managed to burn himself. And I was in the middle of calling him a dumbass. Like the word was coming out of my mouth when my hand slipped and the tree branch came up and smacked me in the chin, driving my tooth into my lip.
Oh my God.
So we
like your bottom tooth or what?
No, my top tooth went into my bottom lip.
Oh my God.
And just, it was a bloody massacre of a scene. I had to rush to my parent or to my friend's house, whose dad is just like, what the fuck? What'd you do?
Were you close to your house or his house was closer?
It was a trailer park, a very small situation. So we were closer to the friend's house.
Okay.
And his dad, who really couldn't give a fuck about any of this, just like, yep, you're going to need a stitch, boy.
Not my problem.
Yep. So my unemployed mom had to take me to the immediate care center so I could get stitched up.
Oh, my gosh.
And my very first lip injection. That sucked out loud.
Ow. So how many stitches did you get?
I like three, maybe.
Wow.
I just remember it looking really nasty because I was afraid to clean it with it being such a sensitive site. Like the skin's real thin there. I was afraid of splitting it open. So I still like crust on my lip for a day or two.
Did they just like dissolve? I've never had stitches or anything like that. So I don't know. Did they just like go away or just get taken out?
After a few days, you have to cut them out.
Did your mom take you back for that or she just did that?
She asked me if I was comfortable with her doing it, and I knew my mom for 12 years at that point, so that was a hard no.
Stop it. Oh, man.
But I'm pretty sure if you listen to the soundtrack of that day, that we heard our first song no less than six times that day. Because in the summer of 1994, me and my friends were all in on Warren G and Nate Dogg doing Regulate.
Yes.
This was the lead single from the album called Regulate, G-Funk Era. It was also on the Above the Rim movie soundtrack. Have you seen Above the Rim, Kelly?
I have, but it's been a long time.
That's not the answer I was expecting.
You thought I was going to say no.
Yeah, I have not seen it.
Oh, you have it?
No.
I couldn't tell you much about it, but I know I remember seeing it, so... Yes.
So, Kelly, this was your pick. Why did you bring this before us?
Well, I think that was the kind of the same deal. Like, I feel like that 94 for me was, like, before my friends and I really, like, discovered boys. You know, like, we were still, like, that summer was all about us as being, like, friends, just hanging out. Probably, like, you know, whatever you were doing with the guy friends. And, well, no, we weren't doing what you were doing. Maybe smoking cigarettes, but not the tree branch stuff. But I don't know. And I I've said this a lot on this show, like I didn't really grow up like listening to this type of music until I got into middle school, maybe. And so I feel like this song is one of those songs, like as soon as you hear it, I feel like the reason I was drawn to it was not anything they were saying. It's like the beat to the song or the rhythm or whatever. It's very catchy to me. Like, as soon as you hear it, you know it's that song, you know? So, and I picked it because I did go to Twitter and a lot of people were like in on this song. They wanted it. And it was on my list, but I have so many songs from the 90s that I love. So, but I went with the popular vote. All right.
You said the instrumental caught your attention.
Yeah.
Are you familiar with the Michael McDonald song that they sampled?
I don't know. I guess maybe I should be, but I don't know what is it called? What's the name of it?
It's called I Keep Forgetting Every Time You're Near.
Oh my. I don't think I did know that.
Mm-mm. Yeah, it is something. His voice is ridiculous.
Like bad?
No, it's not bad. Like he's an old white guy who sounds who sounds like an old black guy.
Okay,
it's insane.
Like, I'm gonna have to listen to it. No, I had no idea that. Like, I just thought they came up with this for sure.
No, no, that was the whole G-Funk thing. Was they were taking songs from the 70s and just rapping over them now?
Okay. I didn't know that much about. I know there are a lot of songs like that, but I didn't realize this is one of them.
Now, have you seen the 40-Year-Old Virgin?
Yes.
That song that is playing in the store, the Best Buy Circuit City type store, where Paul Rudd's like, "Look, if you buy the TV, I'll throw the fucking DVD in for free." Yeah. That's Michael McDonald. It's his music.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Oh, very fascinating.
He's like, look, if I got to listen to this Michael McDonald shit one more time, I'm going to blow my brains out.
Oh, shit. That's amazing. Oh, gosh. I did not know any of that. You're just a fountain of information, Steve.
All right, kids. Well, typically the way this works around Songs with Friends is the chooser of the song will lead us through the lyrics. Kelly had some concerns this week. So she has passed the assignment on to me.
Yes.
And as your faithful co-pilot here, I will gladly take the reins here.
Yes, because really, I think this was your pick, and, you know, I kind of feel like I stole your pick. I could have easily picked, like, a ton of other songs. And you couldn't hear it. I mean, you struggled to pick a different one. So.
Yeah, there were outtakes on last week's episode, guys. I probably cut out 6 minutes of me searching and fiddling and trying to get my life together.
Which you normally will never take anything out of our shows. So, but it was a long period of time. So it was like you felt like we got to take out that 5 minutes of me looking.
Yes. Something. That was not good audio. So this song is unique in that it's essentially two narratives that are separate for most of the song. Warren G is rapping his part and Nate Dogg is singing his. Now, Kelly, you may or may not know this. Did you know that Warren G and Dr. Dre are, in fact, related?
I didn't know that. No. Mm-mm.
Wow.
How? Like cousins? Or
no, they're either half-brothers or step-brothers, something along those lines.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah, so of course, you know, right after the Chronic hits, then Warren G is going to piggyback off that, get his own deal. Let's see here. He is his stepbrother's Dr. Dre, so there we go.
Wow. But he don't got Dr. Dre money.
He does not. He nor does he have fucking, what's that guy's name? Rick Moranis money either.
I mean, I don't remember much from how long till, I don't even know. Warren G and Nate Dogg still making music?
Nate Dogg is dead.
I didn't know that either. Oh, God. Sorry. I'm the worst co-host.
Yeah, you were dropping the ball this week, Kelly.
Oh, shit. I probably did know that, but I have a really bad memory, and I don't retain information about things that aren't, like, you know, like, I know Kurt Cobain died because I was, like, in on him. I was like, oh, he's a fan. So.
Yeah, Nate Dogg died in, I think it was 2011. Had a stroke.
Oh, very sad.
It is. All right, well, now that we've got the happy-go-lucky part of the show out of the way, let's get into the lyrics. It was a clear black night, a clear white moon. Warren G is on the streets, trying to consume some skirts for the eve, so I can get some funk, just rolling in my ride, chilling all alone. So, it's nighttime, clearly. Warren G is on the streets, trying to consume some skirts. He is on the hunt for some ass.
Yeah. And my copy that I printed says that so he can get some phones, and that makes no sense. So now that you said fuck, I was like, some phones? Like, that's weird.
Yeah, cell phones weren't a real big thing, you know, at that time. He was out there with a pocket full of Nokias.
That's why I was like, how are you going to get? Yeah, and I never would have thought, like, yeah, he's just trying to get some ladies for the evening.
Ladies, like, plural.
Well, he put skirts.
He does. He's stingy. He even emphasizes the next line. Just rolling in my ride, chilling all alone. It's just me. I'm looking for multiple women because I am Dr. Dre's stepbrother, damn it. And I am spending fucking nothing but a G-thing money tonight.
Oh, that's amazing.
So while he is out trying to find some ass, Nate Dogg is on the other side of the town. Just hit the east side of the LBC on a mission trying to find Mr. Warren G. I like that they're friends, but he calls him Mr.
I know. Yeah.
Let's see. Seen a car full of skirts. Say no need to tweak. All you skirts know what's up with 213. All right. Are you familiar with 213 and what that is?
LA? Like, isn't that their area code? No?
It is. There was a group before they all got signed of Nate Dogg, Warren G, and Snoop Dogg were on a little group together.
Oh, and that's what their name was?
Yeah, 213.
Oh. I thought that was, maybe I'm wrong. I thought that was like an area code in LA or somewhere in that area.
I believe it is a derivative of the area code.
I couldn't. What's the LBC?
Long Beach.
Oh. I've been there. Okay.
Oh, look at you. Were you the skirts that Warren G and Nate Dogg were trying to pursue?
I don't know. They were not looking for me. I was 14.
That doesn't mean they were looking for you. Just mean they didn't find you.
Actually, I think I was like 20 when I went there, so you never know.
My goodness, what a turn this took.
Uh-huh.
All right, so now Warren G is out by himself looking for girls. And Nate Dogg is looking for Warren G, but he found the girls.
Yeah. How's that go?
Their game of Marco Polo sucks.
But we did not have cell phones.
Right. They were paging
each
other. And
even then, I don't know. They might have. But I know I didn't have a pager at this age. Like, yet. Like, I think I might have been like 15 or 16 when I got a pager. And that was like a big deal. So that was a whole pain in the ass to get a hold of someone. Like,
they were paging each other from fucking payphones.
Yeah.
Hey, I see the skirts. We're closing in.
And if he caught, like, I remember people would page me and then they'd like leave me a message and I have to listen. Ugh, it was just like, that was so annoying. The whole pager thing was annoying.
All right. So now we cut back to Warren G. So I hooks a left on 2-1 to Lewis. Some brothers shooting dice, so I said, let's do this. I jumped out the ride and said, what's up? Some brothers pull some gats, and I said, I'm stuck. So he's out trying to get laid, and he stops for a dice game with strangers.
What a turn. Like, cannot relate to this.
This is piss poor planning.
You got to know where you're at.
And not only that, he obviously doesn't know these guys. He's just cruising by himself at night and jumps out of the car and did not clearly declare his intentions.
Yes.
He didn't say, hey, let's shoot dice or let's play. I got 50 in my pocket, whatever. He just said, what's up? So they put guns on him.
Yes.
And now he's stuck. Have you ever just jumped out the ride and said, what's up to a group of guys shooting dice?
No, that's what I said. I cannot relate to this at all. I try to avoid people, period, really. So I just that, I, especially people I do not know. So I would never, like, walking down the street when I was that age, if I saw like people and I didn't know them, I'd cross the other side of the street, like, period. Like, I don't even care. It's like, I don't know you. I don't want to talk to you. So that's just how I was.
All right. So now we cut to, so Warren's probably about to get robbed. We have more important things. So we're going to cut back to Nate Dogg. So it's these girls peeping me. I'm a glide and swerve. I mean, there's no respect. These hookers looking so hard, they straight hit the curb.
Oh, my God.
Going to think of better things than some horny tricks. See my homie and some suckers all in his mix. All right, so the girls are looking at him. He's doing all fucking Fast and Furious shit, gliding and swerving throughout the road. The girls are checking him out so hard, they fucking wreck. And then he just leaves them there.
Is it a compliment if, like, a hooker's checking you out?
A hooker? No, because, she's just trying to sell the goods. That's
Yeah. Don't feel cocky about that in any way, in my opinion.
It's like when the AT&T guy comes to knock on your door to ask you about your cable provider. Like, he doesn't want to be your friend. He's trying to lay that U-verse pipe.
Yes, exactly. He's on to bigger, better things than some horny tricks. Oh,
that's
my.
Right. That's right. He's driving away from these girls that he wanted so badly that he made them wreck. And he happens to stumble upon Warren G. Off here in the distance, about to get fucked up over this dice game.
Over the dice game.
So then we cut to Warren, and it's going down badly for him. It's a bad night. I'm getting jacked. I'm breaking myself. I can't believe they're taking Warren's wealth. He refers himself in the third person like he's the fucking rock.
All, like, the whole song, it feels like.
They took my rings. They took my Rolex. I looked at the brothers and said, damn, what's next? What I love about this music video, and it's very literal.
Oh, yeah.
Like, at this part of the song, they were literally pulling his wrist off, or his watch off his wrist, and pulling his rings off finger by finger.
So creative. They were very creative.
You know, at the time, so much of videos were just pretentious, weird, artsy bullshit. It was kind of refreshing. Like, oh, hey, yeah. we're driving. Oh, the girls hit a curb. oh, here's Warren G getting robbed now.
No, you're right, because sometimes you're watching a video and you're like, this has fucking nothing to do with this song, like, at all. At least with this, they stayed on pace. Like,
and every so often, they would just cut to an above the rim footage.
Oh, gosh.
Yes, the whole thing was very, very odd.
Very odd.
So then we cut to Nate Dogg, who sees all this happening in the distance. Says they got my homie hemmed up and they all around. Ain't none of them seeing if they going straight pound for pound. That don't even make no damn sense.
Mm-mm.
I got to come up real quick before they start to clown. I best pull out my strap and lay them busters down. So, all right, they had guns, but instead they're beating Warren G's ass because, again, no one here is a prudent planner.
Yeah. Well, people aren't trying to murder anybody, probably. They're just like, you know, I'm going to kick someone's ass today. I don't want to kill somebody today.
The robbery charge is okay, but a murder's pushing it.
Yeah. But I think, like, robbery with a gun is pretty steep. So you're really not that far off the, you know, like, armed robbery and murder. They're probably not a huge difference in
yep, that. That weapon really adds to the charges.
Definitely.
So Nate Dogg says, hey, I have a gun. Fuck you guys. Leave him alone. But a gunfight doesn't ensue.
No.
So then we cut back to Warren G, and like he's practically pissing his pants here.
Oh, yeah. Rightfully so.
In a time when everybody was the toughest and the biggest and the baddest, and fucking Dr. Dre's little stepbrother is like, nope, not me. I'm not about that life.
And there's no shame in that.
All right, this is 1994. So NWA has been making money for like 6 years now, you know? So I'm sure Warren G has seen some of that money.
Yeah.
You know, he was on The Chronic. So I'm sure he's getting some residuals from that. But still, here he is riding through the streets in the middle of the night looking for ass and getting robbed at dice games.
It is kind of weird to me that you would have money and that you would still... Like, what was that... God, I can't even think of his name now. He was on the Patriots, that football player. It's like, you're like a multimillionaire, has huge contract, and he's like committed murder. That's like, what the hell? Like, why are you even messing with any of that? Like, that's just crazy to me. Like, you've made something different of your life and you're over here like killing people still. It's like, what the hell's going on? What was that guy's name? Hernandez?
Yeah, Aaron Hernandez.
Yeah. It's like, what the hell? It's crazy.
So now, in the midst of the pants pissing and the panicking, says, they got guns to my head. I think I'm going down. I can't believe this happened in my hometown. Well, it wouldn't have had you just kept driving, you dumb fuck.
Yeah. Know where you're at.
I mean, imagine that. If your brother is Dr. Dre, who's a known commodity... It's almost like you're the Lindbergh baby. Like, you're going to get kidnapped and held for ransom. Mm-hmm. So keep your ass out these streets.
And wearing, like, a Rolex and, you know.
Right.
Who knows what kind of car he was actually driving.
If I had wings, I would fly. Let me contemplate. I glance in the cut and I see my homie Nate. So now.
He thinks help's on the way.
Fucking Nate Dogg's coming in like a house of fire. Nate Dogg's got the hot tag. 16 in the clip and 1 in the hole. Nate Dogg is about to make some bodies turn cold. So look, you robbed my man. I'm shooting every one of you bitches.
Oh my gosh.
Now they drop it in yelling. It's a tad bit late. Nate Dogg and Warren G had to regulate. I think Nate's giving his buddy too much credit here. I think Nate Dogg came to regulate while Warren G was being a stupid bitch.
Yeah. He should have just said, I had to regulate.
He did. Had to save this dumb fucker again.
Well, he did say here, I laid all them busters down.
He did. He's shooting people. They're dropping and yelling. So I laid all them busters down. I let my gat explode. Now I'm switching my mind back into freak mode.
Oh, my.
If you want skirt, step back and observe. I just left a gang of hoes over there on the curb. So he's like, hey, those girls who erect, let's go fuck them now.
Yeah, like it's such an interesting turn of events. Like I'm shooting people. And then it's like, I'm going to go back and get those hoes that I thought, or hookers, whatever they were, that he was not wanting anything to do with.
So meanwhile, like, They've just been sitting on the curb, just dressed scantily for a good while now. Like, we don't know if they've called AAA, if there's help coming, if there's a flat tire situation.
Yeah. They might have moved on.
So then we go back to Warren G. Says, now Nate got the freaks, and that's a known fact. Before I got jacked, I was on the same track. No, you weren't, man.
No.
The way your night was headed, you weren't going to get laid regardless. If you had the kind of focus that Nate Dogg had, you wouldn't have found yourself getting your ass kicked and your Rolex taken to begin with.
Yeah. Nate Dogg is like the brainchild here.
he's the star. Like,
yeah.
Warren G's the front man, but Nate Dogg's the songwriter who should be getting all the credit here.
Yeah. I like his voice anyways better. His singing.
Nate Dogg has a tremendous voice.
Yes. It really is touching to me, honestly. like
I've never heard it described as touching, but we'll go with it.
There's a spot, I'll tell you when it comes, and I'm like, oh, I don't know why, but it makes me happy.
Yeah, we'll explore that later for sure.
Stop.
So then he just randomly blurts out backup, because it's on. N-A-T-E and me, the warrant to the G. Like, we've run out of shit to say here. We're just spelling words now.
Because this song has a lot going on and not repeating.
Yes.
Like, there's no, like, hook, you know?
So now we come back to Nate Dogg. It's just like I thought, they were in the same spot and need of some desperate help. But the Nate Dogg and the G-Child were in need of something else.
G-Child.
So he's like, you know what? I bet they'll give it up for a ride home. They're stuck on the curb. We have a car. Let's make a deal. Guys, that's slimy and creepy. Don't be that guy.
Oh, no. Mm-mm.
One of them dames was sexy as hell. I said, ooh, I like your size. What a fucking great compliment.
It's a very, like, yeah.
Girl, you're not too big. You're not too small. You're just right. You are my bowl of porridge.
It is kind of actually a compliment. It is a compliment. It's just a weird way to say it.
Your DM is going to have at least 3 compliments on your size the day that this drops. I'm just waiting.
Stop it.
It's going to be great. Kelly, how's it going? Long time fan. That's good to help you notice. You have a really nice size.
It's a thing when somebody is attracted to, like, your body type. Not in this situation because you're a hooker or whatever is happening. But, like, you know, go on. We're not talking about this anymore.
Right. I don't think these girls are literal hookers. I think that was just his slang.
Oh.
Yeah, if it was a car.
They were hookers.
No, if it was a car full of hookers, why would they all be together? Like a hooker squad, like going. Like, it's the start of the shift, and they're all going to their post.
Yes! I don't know anything about... I don't know. I've only seen hooker stuff in movies.
Yeah, you typically... typically, you don't buy hookers in bulk.
Oh.
You're only going to need one.
How do you know that?
I mean, I don't know. I just imagine you're only going to fuck one of them. I pay for 3. It's like going to Sam's Club. It's not always the most efficient move. Sometimes you just need a piece of fruit.
Yes, come out with, like, yeah, I gotcha.
It's gonna expire before we can use it all, damn it.
Yeah,
all right, that was fun. Where were we here? Oh, she said my car's broke down and you seem real nice, would you let me ride?
Oh my god,
I love that he says I got a car full of girls and it's going real swell. like they're going to Pleasureville or Pleasantville or whatever. Like, fucking, she's gonna bake Wally some cookies when they get back.
Yeah.
The next stop is the East Side Motel.
Oh my.
So they're rich, but they're going to this skeezy ass motel.
Yeah, because that's probably one of those places you can get by the hour.
Yeah, shit, by the minute in some of those scenarios.
By the minute they have those? I have no idea.
They probably have on their marquee, it says free HBO.
Yeah, like, you're like, I do not need a full hour in this room with this woman. I need about 10 minutes. No, I'm sure there's a minimum, but those are usually pretty, like, yeah.
Mm. All right, so now this is where their night ends. They've been robbed, they've kicked ass, they've shot a few people. Now it's time to fuck the skirts. at the East Side Motel.
Fuck this card.
So just a typical night in the LBC, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They're probably going to go at 2 in the morning and get a fat burger. It's just the way these things work. So then it's just random-ass music talk to close us out. I'm tweaking onto a whole new level. G-Funk, step to this, I dare ya. Funk, on a whole new level. The rhythm is the bass and the bass is the treble. So then we just go into just random words. Chords. Strings. We brings melody. G-Funk, where rhythm is life and life is rhythm. Do you have anything at all to contribute to this mismatch of words here?
Nope. All but right. I really like this last part of the song.
And then
I don't even know why.
Then we got in an Nate Dogg, like we said, the star of the show.
Yeah, his voice.
He's gonna get his shit in here before he leaves. It's like fuck Warren. He's over here talking about God knows what chords and strings like we're in seventh grade music class at the fucking recorder trough. We're going to say, let's see, and if you know like I know, you don't want to step to this. It's the G-Funk era, funked out with a gangster twist. And if you smoke like I smoke, then you high like every day. And if your ass is a buster, 213 will regulate.
I don't know why that whole if you smoke like I smoke yeah. on, it just gets me. I don't even know why.
You're all fucking fired up.
I'm like, yes, I don't even do that. I'm like, let's go get high. Like, I don't even know. It's like, this makes me feel like, I don't know. His voice, it's very like, I don't know. There's something about his voice. He's a good singer, in my opinion. It shocks you.
He is a good singer. I will give you that. All right. Well, we better get to this ad read before fucking Todd Weber, the manager, regulates on our asses.
I know he's always having to keep you in line.
He is. I'm a damn wild card.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to cut to our good, close, personal, longtime friends, JT and Chad, and then we'll be right back to talk about some more songs with our friends.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Place to Be Nation's JT Rosero and Chad Campbell here. We want to let you know that we have over 24 podcasts available on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlaceToBeNation.com. We now offer them to you on two great feeds. On the Place to Be Nation wrestling feed, we dive into topics running the gamut from today's WWE to the glory days of yesteryear and the ins and outs of the territory days. In addition to our full-length shows, we also deliver to you special pod blasts on topics old and new.
The Place to Be Nation pop feed is a veritable treasure trove of great content. Offer tremendous shows covering the land of movies, television, life, comics, and sports, brought to you by the most knowledgeable and insightful folks in the podcast world.
You can find all of these current shows, plus archives of our previous podcasts over the past 8 years as well, by subscribing to our feeds on iTunes. And while there, be sure to rate and leave feedback as well. All of these shows, plus others available at PlaceToBeNation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus in-depth stretch projects and more. Be sure to support our site by using www.placetobenation.com/Amazon while doing your online shopping. And be sure to join us at our forum at bigelow34.proboards.com for all sorts of wrestling, sports, and pop culture discussion each and every day where you can make your voice heard. We also want to thank our friends at Boneheads Wing Bar, ProWrestlingOnly.com, and TheHistoryOfWrestling.com. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr as well. PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
And welcome back to the second half of Songs with Friends. Now, before we go into the second half of our show, let's talk about some of the other amazing content available on the Place to Be Nation feeds. Over on the Place to Be Nation pop feed, which is where we are right now, in the newest Marvel age, the Sarcastic Four dive into 1971 with the first of three parts covering the year. In the eighth episode of Laugh-In Theater has Andy welcoming hard-traveling fanboy Greg Phillips to watch one of the funniest movies of all time, Austin Powers: International Man of Mystery. Now, I don't know if I'd call it one of the funniest movies of all time.
That's quite the take.
It is. That's a bold proclamation from Andy.
Yeah, that is.
I prefer Austin Powers 2, because I think the Mini-Me character provides some a better dynamic, but that's just my personal taste.
Yeah.
And then the hard-traveling fanboys continue X-Men Month with a review of the infamous X-Men: The Last Stand. Is it better than Dark Phoenix? Is it really as bad as you remember? Maybe you'll just have to listen to find out. Now, I have no opinion on this because I've never seen an X-Men movie.
That's really shocking, Steve.
Well, I was
for a man of your age.
I was, the first one came out when I was 18, and I was going to go see it with a girl that I was going to the movies with frequently that summer, but that whole thing fell apart before the X-Men, so that didn't happen.
Oh, another breakup story?
This wasn't really a breakup story. This was a never quite got off the ground story.
Oh, so you didn't have a movie buddy?
No, I've told the story of my prom shenanigans.
Yes.
About how I went to prom and it was kind of a disaster and whatnot. Well, the other girl in that scenario that I should have asked to prom was this one.
Oh, okay.
All right. And moving on, enough about my fails.
I had more questions. No, I'm just kidding. Go ahead.
DC For You, the newest weekly comics show on the Pop Feed, brings its first monthly look at the current state of DC Comics, including Vertigo's retirement, the return of the Legion of Superheroes, and the JSA, as well as what Todd and Russell are currently reading. There's a lot of damn comics content this month, guys. Jennifer Smith is back with a new episode of Freakout Drive-In as she welcomes returning guest Scott Criscolo to watch that hit 2016 clown horror movie. No, not it. It's Terrifier. Not the fake It. On a new episode of NBA Team, Adam Murray and Andrew Reich are here to reflect on what has been quite the last week on NBA land. And a brand new PT and Pop special. Wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute. We're still doing NBA shows, guys?
Well, we're in free agency. Have you been on Twitter today? Yeah, this has been a mayhem.
We're in free agent season now, but, I mean, shit. Like Tim Cable said, that NBA playoffs lasted approximately 14 years this year. And on a brand new PTB and Pop special, Andy Atherton, Scott Criscolo. Where are we? I'm sorry, I had to turn the page here. J. Arsenio D'Amato and Todd Weber get together to discuss PTBN's greatest song of the 80s tournament. That's right, these crazy old fucks did bracketology for the 80s songs tournament. That thing is underway. You can vote on Facebook, you can vote on Twitter. Don't you dare hack it or I will kill your mothers. It's been a lot of fun so far. I've been voting every day on Twitter.
I've been voting on Twitter and Facebook.
You've been double dipping. They talked about that on the show.
You're not supposed to do that?
You're not supposed to do that.
Are you joking?
I'm not joking you.
Oh, my God.
Billy Kay, I would not joke you on something like that.
I feel bad now.
You are on the air admitting to collusion.
You're going to have to delete that. Did they really talk about that?
They did, because they talked about how that could be a decider in close races, how maybe they would just do Facebook or Twitter, and then they decided to do both.
I felt like that means I get to vote twice.
I feel like you're a no good cheat. That's what I think.
I'm fine with that, because I'm going to keep doing it. Just kidding.
Speaking of the 80s tournament, we kicked off June 23rd. There will be 6 polls a day posted for round one, which means this thing with over 500 songs could go anywhere from months to years, depending on how efficiently we get through this thing. You will get in on the action on Facebook by searching PTBN's Greatest Song of the 80s Tournament and liking the page. Be sure to weigh in. And over on the Place to Be Nation wrestling feed, on the Place to Be podcast, Justin Scott and Steve Bennett. I'm glad to see Steve Bennett back in the booth. They're back inside the home office for a dive into the September 30th, 1989 MSG House Show. And after a 6-month hiatus, Steve Bennett and Peter Winston reunite to discuss their 10 favorite single-season sports teams of all time on the Adams Division podcast. Now, Kelly, even though that is a show on the wrestling feed, I think you would actually really enjoy that. Because they get into hockey, they get into some pop culture stuff.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they get into a little bit of everything on that show. And then
I'll have to check it out.
In the 9th episode of Roar One, Seat One, Ben welcomes action wrestling champion AC Mack to the podcast. Over at placetobenation.com, PTBN's tribute to 1994 is off and running, as seen right here, with pieces on the Best Picture nominees for the 66th Academy Awards, the 1994 World Cup, and the miniseries The Stand. Also, Excellent Network Adventure Team is back with a look at ECW One Night Stand 2006. Check out our social media pages and message board over at bigelow34.proboards.com for information on joining our GWWE pay-per-view and TV match ever project. Get in on the conversation today and start researching your list. Now, I'm not on Facebook. However, if you want in on the Facebook Messenger live watch group where they've kind of going through these things chronologically, hit up our good friends Tim Capel or Jenny Smith. They'll be more than happy to add you to the group. I don't have the option to do so myself. And speaking of Roll One Seat One and Ben Zani and AC Mac of Action Wrestling, AC Mac will be in the 2019 Scenic City Invitational Tournament in sunny Chattanooga, Tennessee, the first weekend in August. And we will be there as well. We won't be in the tournament, sadly. I like to see Kelly lace them up and see how far she can make it.
Oh, my God. That would be the worst. You don't want to see that.
However, we will be staying at the hotel with the crew. We will have the podcasting equipment on tap. So if you want in on Songs of Friends and you're going to be in Chattanooga that weekend, by all means, reach out to us. My Twitter is at SongsWithSteve. Kelly's is at KelGene17. You can follow us proper at PTBN_songs. Slide in the DMs to get a hold of us. Let us know what song you want to pick. I'll say maybe a week out from the show so that we can be prepared. And we'll try to schedule a time to get you in. Plan on recording some good content that weekend, with or without you. So get on the bus, damn it.
We still want Jenny and Tim to come.
That's right. We have sent an invitation to Jenny and Tim. We think Jenny's more of a lock than Tim, but neither is guaranteed. If Tim Cable comes, we will shake the baby for him.
Yes.
All right. And speaking of babies and shaking, I'm sure many a baby was made to this next song.
What a segue. That baby shaking thing was life-changing information.
Originally released in May 1994 as the lead single for the movie Reality Bites, this is Stay I Missed You from Lisa Loeb and Nine Stories. I picked this song as my second pick because Kelly very expertly stole Regulate from right under my nose.
Were you too shocked? Because remember, I played it at the beginning.
I was not shocked. I'd kind of pushed that out of my head by the time we got to the end and just kind of forgot about it.
Yeah, okay.
But I've always liked this song from the first time I heard it on pop-up video way back in like 96.
The life that raised Steve.
Yes. VH1. Like, my mom had to give VH1 a child support check every month.
Oh, shit.
And I watched the video today. I watched the pop-up video version of the video today.
I can't wait to hear about this. I did not watch that.
I watched Newfound Glory covering the song. I watched no less than 3 separate Lisa Loeb live performances of the song. It is my karaoke go-to. I can't sing worth a damn. However, I'm all about the theatrics. And this is a song that people don't expect you to do the things that I do while this song is playing.
We're going to have to go to karaoke at SCI. We don't even have time for that.
No, it's going to be the night before we get there.
Oh. Is it really? Well, yeah. They better record it.
Well, if we have an SCI prom situation again, which Papa Hales did say today as we recorded, there would be some kind of party situation Friday night. I will see if they will let me have the mic for just 3 minutes or so. I'm a little bit of a commodity in the SCI world now, so I may be able to pull this off.
And I'm going to take to Twitter Live or whatever. Can you do that on Twitter?
Yes, Stoney did it when he drew the Rumble numbers. So, yes, absolutely.
Okay.
Stoney Keeley of our friends over at the Soul Bros Network. Look forward to seeing them SCI weekend as well. So, anyway, this song was on the Reality Bites soundtrack released in 1994. It was the very first song ever to hit number one by an unsigned artist. Lisa Loeb was Ethan Hawke's neighbor.
I did read that. That was surprising to me.
So that led to Ethan Hawke making his directorial debut in this video, and it was her very first time being on camera.
Because, I mean, how were they really neighbors? Didn't he kind of have some money at this point? And she's like an unsigned artist. I found that kind of interesting. They were neighbors.
I'm not really well versed in
Ethan Hawke.
Yeah, in Ethan Hawke's filmography.
You know, just kind of seemed like by that point he had some money, you know, but maybe not.
Now, in the pop-up video, it said that that Ethan Hawke was the neighbor. And in this Wikipedia entry, it says that Sean Penn was her neighbor and friend.
Whoa.
So that we have some
big drastic difference.
Ethan Hawke did live near her. They weren't neighbors. But yeah, apparently they were also friends. This was a very, very happening neighborhood.
Yes. It was probably one of those neighborhoods where it was like very hipster, whatever you would have called it at that time. Not hipster, but you know what I mean? It was like affordable maybe, but it was like the cool place to live. And there's probably some upscale ones and then affordable housing.
So get this. This song was up for a Grammy for the best pop performance by a duo or group of vocals, but they lost to All for One with I Swear.
That's a shame.
That is. Like, they need to retroactively fix this.
Yeah, that's bullshit.
They need to drive to All for One's house, and I'm sure they all live in one house.
Stop it.
Because they haven't done anything of note since 1996. So they live together to save money. They all worked their separate shifts at GameStop and pulled their resources to cover the rent. That Grammy is sitting right up there next to the Nintendo Switch stand.
They have like a one-bedroom apartment they all live in.
It's like the Ghostface Killah song we covered forever ago. Roaches everywhere. Cousins and aunts was there.
Yeah.
All right. So enough slander for All for One. Let's get into this video or this song. The video actually opens with a shot of a cat, and that is Ethan Hawke's cat, as I learned from pop-up video today.
Oh.
Yes.
I'm not really a cat person. I feel kind of bad saying that.
Can't say that I am either. I don't trust them.
Yeah, they're just... I don't know what it is. Yeah. They kind of creep me out, to be honest.
In the 90s, we had a one-eyed cat in our house.
It
was not one-eyed when we bought it or... Adopted it.
A firecracker situation?
It was a fight with a raccoon situation.
Oh my.
So she was Daisy, the one-eyed cat. No. Her name was not Daisy. Daisy was the kitten that this cat had. Now, as we've covered, my parents were young and kind of ridiculous. My mom named this cat Pudding-Tang.
What the fuck, Steve?
Miss Pudding-Tang was his cat's name. I've repressed that for a long time because Daisy lived until like 2010 or something crazy. Daisy was the kitten.
Oh my god. So, how do you go from that to Daisy?
So Pudding-Tang was standing on the side of the road sometime in like 1999. There's a guy driving through the trailer park who stopped and then swerved to hit the one-eyed cat. Now, thankfully, the cat only had one eye, so she never saw her fate coming.
Oh.
But yeah, that's what happened to that cat. And then the cat's daughter, Daisy, who was named by one of the kids, who was not going to name it like Pudding-Tang 2 or something.
Yeah. Pudding-Tang Jr.
That cat died... my nephew, who's kind of a wild card himself, for some reason, like, picked up a couch. Or the couch was up for some reason. I think my mom had propped the couch up so she could vacuum. And this little wild ass ran and pushed the couch over. And it landed on the cat and killed it.
Oh, my God. How old was he?
The nephew?
Yeah.
Probably four-ish.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, a long cursed bloodline there with the Pudding-Tang family.
Oh my god. Where'd you guys get the cat? Did you just find it?
It was just a neighborhood cat showed up and didn't leave.
Yeah. Oh, that is amazing.
All right, well, you say. I only hear what I want to.
Oh.
And you say, I talk so all the time. So. So. In this video, it's a point of view video. It's supposed to be the guy that's trying to leave her, but like she won't stop fucking talking to him.
We never do that.
And it's like we're in the denial part of this breakup right now. Like it's almost like he's pointing out why he wants to leave and she's defending herself. So you say I only hear what I want to. And I talk so all the time. So?
Fuck you. That's right. In her defense, she's probably like, I've been doing that for 6 years. Okay, I don't want to hear about that shit.
And that is the thing. Sometimes things that you will tolerate early in the relationship, by the end, you're like, what the fuck? You know, like, why do you do this? Why are you this way?
They say that a lot about people. What draws you to them will be the thing that, like, you know, that fascinates you about them will be the thing that you're like, that fucking annoys the shit out of me after some period of time.
You know, in my group chat that I've referenced a couple times, we will be open in that chat. It's kind of our place to vent about relationship problems when they happen. And one of the guys was like, yeah, I won't say which one, but he was like, oh yeah, she's mad at me. And like, I don't even know what I did. Like, I was eating cereal. Like, and next thing I know, she's fucking fired up. And one of the other guys are like, yeah, like, just like you ate cereal with that bitch. Like, you probably thought about your ex while you're eating your Lucky Charms, and she triggered something and she remembered.
She remembered you told her a story about a woman with Lucky Charms one time, and you're over there eating that shit in her house. She ain't having it.
She saw you looking at a girl's whose top had horseshoes, clovers, and balloons. Now you have to have Lucky Charms to satisfy your thirst, you horny fucker.
We're just like that sometimes.
It bees that way sometimes. So then we go, and I thought what I felt was simple, and I thought that I don't belong. And now that I am leaving, now I know that I did something wrong because I missed you. Yeah, I missed you. Now, I think this is common in a lot of relationships. Like, no matter how bad the relationship was, you know, that's still a big part of you that's gone, and things are going to be different now, and you're going to miss that. Just missing the normalcy, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that doesn't mean that you want to go back. It just means that you're adjusting to a change.
Yeah. Well, and I think sometimes, because that's what I was, when I read that part, I was like, she broke up with him, I guess. And now she's like, oh, fuck, I didn't mean to do that. And he's like, hey, I'm out. Like, you know, you, and, but I feel like too, sometimes like the further you get removed from a situation, sometimes you won't remember the bad shit as much, you know? And so you look back and like, oh, it wasn't so bad. But like, if you went back to that after like a month, you'd be like, oh fuck, this is why I wasn't in this anymore. You know?
This is one of my favorite bits in the movie Forgetting Sarah Marshall, which was recently covered on Laugh In Theater on the Place We Nation pop feed, cheap plug. If you've never seen Forgetting Sarah Marshall, I know you have. The listeners, it's a movie about a breakup, and the guy goes to Hawaii to clear his mind because he's devastated, and she's there with her new guy, and just shenanigans ensue. But throughout the course of this movie, they go through flashbacks, and even though he was the one devastated, like, as time progresses, he starts to remember times when he felt neglected in the relationship. Meanwhile, in her flashbacks, she's remembering times when he was good to her.
And yeah.
Just that arc, you know, that's just how life works sometimes. You know,
yeah.
Time tends to warp your perception.
Yeah. And for some, it's good and bad. Like, I'm the kind of person, I'm like, ooh, I'll remember something bad someone did to me. And I'll be like, I'll hold on to that shit till I die to make sure that I don't resort back to that. But I think a lot of people, time can be forgiving. And, you know, so I think that happens with a lot of people. And then, if, you know, a lot of my girlfriends do that. And then they're back with somebody and they're like, oh, it's the same shit. And I'm like, yeah, you thought it was going to be different, but it wasn't.
And you say, I only hear what I want to. I don't listen hard. I don't pay attention to the distance that you're running to anyone anywhere. I don't understand if you really care. I'm only hearing negatives. No, no, no bad. Now, we've kind of hinted at this earlier and in the last episode. I do, and have for like 20 years, a ridiculous crush on Lisa Loeb. Part of it is she's a pretty girl. Part of it is she appears sweet. Part of it is the glasses, maybe the dark hair. But at the heart, I think it's because she sounds like an absolute fucking crazy person in this song. And I find that relatable, damn it.
See, all men want their women to be a little bit crazy.
It is. I mean, no good story starts with, yeah, we were relaxing at home and reading books and being quiet. Like, no, she was trying to burn my fucking house down. That is a passionate woman.
I'm like, count me out. Oh, that's hilarious.
But this is a real thing. Like, you say I only hear what I want to. I don't listen hard. I don't pay attention. Like, this is insinuating that that it hasn't been good for a while. And he's been trying to communicate, but she doesn't hear that. Like, he's been distancing himself. She hasn't seen it. And now that he's bringing this light and they're actually going to be apart, she doesn't know if he ever really cared. That all she hears is bad. Like, oftentimes when you're in an argument with your significant other, that's all you hear is bad. Like, you're not in a reasonable frame of mind.
Yeah.
And I think that's where she is at this point.
Yeah. Well, and it is a thing. Like, I feel like a lot of people, like, I've brought this up on my show before, but I spent a long period of my life with one person, and I don't really want him walking around being like, Kelly's a fucking bitch. You know what I mean? And maybe he does, but you want to think that somebody was like, hey, most of that was good, maybe, and you're kind of hoping. But when it gets to the end, all people will do is like shine your bad shit on your they'll just be bringing up everything that they think is bad about you. And that's just, it's hurtful. You know what I mean? And you just want to think, man, well, you used to like me, but that changes. So what are you going to do?
So she's only hearing negative. So to drown that out, she turns the radio on. She turned the radio up. And this woman was singing my song, Lover's in Love and the Others Run Away. Like, damn. Lover is crying because the other won't stay. Some of us hover when we weep for the other who is dying since the day they were born. So now she's like, all right. I was the one sacrificing. I've been waiting for you, and you just continue to drown in your own sorrows over there, in your own mediocrity. Like, you've been dying since the day you were born. Look, I'm fucking making movies with Ethan Hawke.
Yeah, what the fuck you.
What the fuck are you doing?
What are you doing with your life?
I'm hanging out with Sean Penn and Ethan Hawke on fucking VH1 pop-up video. Counting my money, you sorry bitch.
Oh, shit.
Says, well, this is not that. I think that I'm throwing, but I'm thrown. And I thought I'd live forever, but now I'm not so sure. You try to tell me that I'm clever, but that will take me anyhow or anywhere with you. So it's like now he's realizing that she's on the verge of burning the house down.
Stop.
So he's trying to ease the blow a little bit now. Oh, let's talk about your good. You're very clever. She's like, yeah, but we're not together, so what the fuck good does that do me?
Yeah. Oh, shit.
Now, there is a theory that maybe this song is actually about Ethan Hawke.
Really?
Really.
Well, he got really invested in this for it being, if he knew it was about him.
Well, maybe like low-key.
Yeah.
They both deny they were ever involved with each other like that.
That's interesting to me when people do that. When they're like grown-ups that aren't attached to somebody else. Like, you know what I mean? It's kind of interesting.
Oh, we're just friends. Oh, that's it.
Yeah. Well, maybe it was short.
We're friends that do sleepovers. That's cool.
Yeah, we're friends that do sleepovers. Help each other get our songs and movies. And
and you said that I was naive, and I thought that I was strong. I thought, hey, I can leave. Now I know that I was wrong. Because I missed you. Yeah, I missed you. So, like, she's wanting to leave, but this one foot is staying behind. Like, she still misses this man so much. Like, you feel bad for her in this song.
No, I do.
Like, even if she is lashing out at times, like, never does it feel like she's wrong.
Yeah.
Like, you know, sometimes a breakup just happens and nobody's wrong, and that's okay.
Yeah.
Sometimes you're just not supposed to be together.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You said you caught me because you want me. One day you'll let me go. You try to give away a keeper or keep me because you know you're just so scared to lose. So this is a very interesting line to me. Like, do you keep the person around just because you recognize they're a catch? Even if they're not good for you, or do you do the better thing and let that person go?
Yeah. Like, and I think a lot of people do that. They keep them. Like, I don't know, like, because it's scary to be alone and go through a breakup and lose someone that you think, maybe there's no one else out there, so even though they're not happy, they stick it out.
Maybe they're not the best person that you want, but maybe they're the best that you think you can do. So you're afraid to let them go and possibly, screw yourself out of the love of your life. Like, who knows?
Yeah, that's true. Look at you, Steve. Counselor and so deep.
That's fake news. Like I said, I've listened to this song at least 5 times today, so I've had some time with it.
5 times today, 1 million times in your lifetime.
At least once on every road trip I've ever taken.
Well, it is a great song. It is a great song.
It, yeah, I got to hear several different mixes of it today in different arrangements. Yeah, I rather enjoyed my time with this song today.
I like some of the acoustic versions of it that I've heard, but that's just me because I like acoustic songs. But
so then we go back to Rikimi because, you know, you're just so scared to lose, and then she's like resigning herself to what's happening. And you say, stay. You say, I only hear what I want to. And then we just fade to black.
Don't we all just only hear what we want? No, I'm just kidding.
That's a real thing.
Yeah. Your interpretation is, you know, it's different for everybody.
You know, everyone is the hero in their own story.
Yes, there's always her side, his side, in the middle, the truth.
And 9 times out of 10, the person that's telling the story is framing it to make them sound like the good person.
Yeah.
But we're not always right.
Yeah, that's true. I think that's normal.
All right, well, that concludes our songs for this week. Next time, I will be going first. And to make up for the fact that I've dropped an unusual amount of country music on us lately, I'm going to hard course correct here. And we're going with Slippin' by DMX.
Oh, my. Yeah, I was about to buy you some cowboy boots and stuff up there.
Some Wranglers.
Some Wranglers.
Built to fit around you.
Wranglers are, you know, that's coming back.
If it's good enough for Brett Favre, it's good enough for me.
Hey, isn't the Old Town Road Kid doing Wranglers?
Yes, he
is. Nas X or, yeah. So, they're popular here, obviously, but that's not really saying much because that's always going to be. So, I don't know that I know this song. I have to listen to it. So, my pick, we're going to do a Gin Blossom song, Hey Jealousy.
Hey Jealousy. That leads us to another SCI plug. It's a great song, but it is also the title of the, I believe it's the Crux Wrestling Show that's going to be taking place in Tullahoma, Tennessee on the Thursday night of SCI weekend, August 1st.
Oh.
So if you're going to be in town early, please check out Hey Jealousy. And give me.
Is that where the karaoke's going down?
It's not going down at that independent wrestling show. It's a very small venue. Give me just a second to look up the information here and have it ready for you guys. I know Jesse was tweeting about this earlier today. I may or may not edit out this stall tactic I'm doing here.
Hey, Jesse.
I love that song, man.
We're going to make you sing Stay on the radio.
All right. You can follow at Crux Wrestling, C-R-U-X Wrestling. Tickets for Hey Jealousy are on sale. Loaded list of talent. It is Thursday night at the TWE Chattanooga Arena in Red Bank, Tennessee. Excuse me, I said Tullahoma. It's Red Bank, Tennessee. That is 4825 Dayton Boulevard. Doors at 7, bell time 8 o'clock. Admission $15. Tickets will be available at the door. Will be some damn fine professional wrestling action that weekend for those of you early travelers coming into town for SCI. As always, follow us at PTBN_songs. Like I said, if you want to be on the show, you know, hit us up. Let us know. Maybe we can work that out. Maybe we won't. Maybe I'm just being a dickhead here and I'll forget my equipment again.
Oh, my gosh. Or Steve will be too drunk or something. No, I'm just kidding.
You'll have to carry the load then, Kelly. You have to steer the ship.
That's scary.
All right, guys. For Kelly, this is Incredibly Sober Steve, and we will try to do better next time.